Good afternoon. I'm Mike May from Sendero Group, and I'm here to introduce you to some of the concepts and the people that we've been working on for some time to pull together the idea that wouldn't it be great if more of the mainstream products had usable features? You know, notice we've stayed away from the word accessible because that gets kind of scary. People think that means ADA and a lot of expense and difficult processes. But that's not necessarily the case. So we're here to tell you a little bit about the importance of these factors and to give you some examples of companies who've either accidentally or on purpose added some sort of usability feature to their product that allows blind and visually impaired people to use those products. There's a good 10 million blind people as customers, so just as business people alone, manufacturers should not be ignoring that particular fact. I'm here with a team of people. We came together as people who all shared the same passion and interest, and that is there's a lot of cool gadgets out there, and we want to make sure that our blind friends and family and other people we don't even know are able to use those devices. Most of us are on the techie side, and so we discover these things, we figure out how to use them, and even though they might be 20% usable or 50% usable, we just kind of eke the extra mile out of them in order to take advantage of the benefits of those particular products. And so a lot of time it's just a matter of alerting people to the fact that they're 1,000 different personal video recorders out there, but is there one that has better buttons that's a little bit more tactile? What about FRS family radios? Some of them have beeps at channel 1, and that can tell when you wrap around through channel 22. How do you know when you get back to channel 1 if you can't see the screen? Accidentally, somebody put a beep that's a little different at channel 1. Was that on purpose? I don't know. We're not privy always to the engineering design components, but those are the things that make one product usable versus another one that doesn't have that beep. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Now, what we're not really talking about is all the accessible products out there. There's whole conferences for products that have to do with accessibility. The one I have around my neck is my PDA, Palm Pilot for the blind, if you will. And it's just like the rest of the PDAs that you're wearing, with internet and email, and mine just happens to have braille output and speech output. But the devices we're showing at our booth in SANS 72044, these are products that we've run across recently that either companies have sent to us or we use personally, or even ones that we're finding on the show floor where we say, hey, that's really cool. Let me send my blind colleagues out to check those out and see what they think, and if we agree that they should receive a vision-free award, then we'll invite them to our reception on Friday night. Stevie will be joining us shortly. He's on his way, but he asked me to go ahead and introduce these kinds of things because he and I have talked about these kinds of issues a lot. And I've sat around in his dressing room and in his suites as he's traveled the world, and we're often just comparing gadgets. Well, hey, look at my iPod thing. No, look at my iPod thing. And he's another gadget guy, and he wants access to this stuff just the way I do and Mark do and my other colleagues. Let me just say a word about the other colleagues who are joining me. Some are in here in this room, and some are back manning our booth. Mark Riccobono will say a few words. He's director of the Jernigan Center of the National Federation of the Blind, based in Baltimore, Maryland. And Jim Kutch of the CNI is here. He's president of the CNI. You notice my dog here, Miguel, and Jim's dog, Colby. Important partners that we have. And I'm not sure who else from our group is in here because those are the only two voices I heard when I came in. Brian Bashan, who's involved in technology and a former journalist. I guess once a journalist, always a journalist. Used to do reporting on various science topics for television and radio. So he's my own personal advisor, what I should say or not say to the media. Anybody else from our group here? Wow, the others are really at work. That's good to see. So I'm going to ask Mark to say a few words next, and then I'll come back and chat a little bit more until Stevie arrives. Mark?
Great. Thanks, Mike. And let me first say, to really commend Mike May for spearheading this effort that we have here at the Consumer Electronics Show. As Mike said, I'm Executive Director of the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. The National Federation of the Blind is the oldest and largest organization of blind people in the United States, and as a civil rights organization, a membership organization of the blind, we have progressed to develop the expertise of blind people into a research and training institute. And the goal of our research and training institute is to develop innovative products, technologies, education, products and services that help the world's blind achieve independence. I told someone earlier, we essentially take the hopes and dreams of blind people and try to turn it into technologies and programs that blind people actually want. Because a lot of times people come up with things that they think blind people would need or want, and it doesn't reflect the everyday lives that we live as blind people. We have the same hopes and dreams and daily tasks as all of you, and we want to accomplish those. Yeah. What's unique about what we're doing here is that we are actually demonstrating mainstream consumer electronics, which are, because of their design, accessible to blind people and others. They're vision-free. And this is a tremendous thing, and we will be working with Mike moving forward. And we're really pleased that Stevie has dedicated his time and energy to be here to help push this initiative and this vision for usability forward. Thank you very much.
Also, if you come to our booth, thank you, Mark, you will see some posters on the side that illustrate pretty precisely what this is all about. One side, there's a poster with Eric Weinmeier, the only blind person who's summited Mount Everest, and it says something to the effect of, climb Mount Everest, yes, use a touchscreen, no. And on my side, I've skied 65 miles an hour. I hold the speed skiing record for a totally blind person. And it might say, ski downhill 65 miles an hour, use a flat panel microwave, no. And I'd like to introduce Stevie Wonder, win 25 Grammys, 100 million records, on and on and on. Yes, use some of this stuff, maybe not. Stevie? And of course, on the positive side, there's all kinds of cool things we can use. So we'll I'll give you a list of what some of those products are when Stevie's done making his comments, and then we'll also have time for a Q&A. Oh, all right. I thought he was just being really quiet. Nothing like one blind guy sneaking up on another one. He's pretty playful, you know, so I wouldn't put it past him. He'd come up and slap me on the shoulder from behind and say, I'm right here. Of course, if you're an accomplished musician, you know, you just keep playing another verse or something, but I don't dare do that to you guys right now.
He's still not on your side, so why don't you continue on?
Okay, thank you for that. He's such a nice guy, he's probably out there signing autographs. Well, let me tell you about some of the products. And as somebody give me a heads up when he does come in. Just mention to you some products that, in fact, we are demoing at our booth, and that these companies will be receiving awards, the Vision Free Award. It's just our term, which means products that blind people or visually impaired people use, or another word for accessibility. A company called Initech Systems. And there's a number of companies that are using voice input as well as voice output. The voice output is the important part because I need to be able to hear it if I can't see it. So the voice input is particularly important. Or the voice output, sorry. The voice input is nice if you can have it. Because, of course, I can still use my keyboard. There's a company called Blue Ant makes an earpiece, which, by golly, I still have in my ear. And the wonderful thing about that is that nobody can see the side of their head. I don't care whether you're 20/20 or not. Okay. So this, the fact that you have to have a device that you can use by feel and that vision-free, it's a Bluetooth headset, the Blue Ant is a good example of that. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Stevie Wonder.
First, I'd like to say it's been a pleasure being here at this event. Many times I've come and I've been able to know about all the various things here, but the one thing that always puzzled me each time was how could I have more accessibility to those different products. Radios that had digital readouts and yet no speech or no way of me being able to really appreciate the significance of the technology and what it did. And so as for the last few years, being a friend of Mike Mays, and I was talking about some of this technology and some of the wishes that not only myself and him, but many people who are blind or with low vision or partially sighted, our desire has been to be a part of this technology, to know, to be able to be more independent and to have a chance to understand the value of being a part of the digital revolution, the technology. As you may know, as of recent, the Nano iPod is now more accessible to a blind person than ever before, which is a great thing, which means that for a person that does not understand why there is such excitement about the iPod, by him or her being able to hear and understand how when you navigate and when you press the center area, you're able to go into various menus, etc., it gives you a great sense of how you can really appreciate and understand the significance of, you know, downloading and all those kinds of things. So that, as well as some of the technology that he'll be talking about and that I'll be showing you today, is why I'm here, because I want to encourage all the various manufacturers, companies, to really be a part of making this technology more accessible. And the excitement is that many people we talk about today that have made their technology accessible without them really realizing that they were doing it, maybe just for the fun of it. But the reality is, if you can take that a few steps further, you will give us the excitement, the pleasure, and the freedom of being a part of a world that we both can share together. So it's my joy to be here, to say that and to encourage you, to encourage others, Because, like my song says on the album that I did, Hotter Than July, I talked about my little boy when he was a little boy, Keita, wanting to be a dancer from seeing his sister dance. It was, show me how to do like you. And basically my thing is, listen, make it possible for those who are blind to have accessibility to your technology. Let's do this. Thank you.
I'll talk about some of the specific comments in the audience.
Thank you, Stevie. It's great to have you teaming up with us to make this happen. 3 years ago at the Monster Concert, and Stevie said in front of 4,000 CES goers some words to the same effect. So he's been a long-term advocate for this, and it's great to see some neat things happening. I'll mention some of the other companies that we'll be highlighting. National Public Radio has taken a leadership position in finding ways for digital radio and special reading services to be available at no extra cost through just regular digital radios. Ubiquiti is one of the companies that manufactures a lot of the ingredients that go into the radios. Dice Electronics and NDS are a couple of the companies who have been involved in making those radios happen, and those are available to see at our booth. Sensory Inc. makes a lot of the chips that go into the talking products that we're be discussing. There's a company called TalkingThermostats.com. You think about how many people, elderly folks, and fortunately there's more and more of them, of us, and who are low vision. And
who are they talking about?
I don't know. And, you know, it's important that people can see the thermostat, and why not have it talk if it's good, or have large print at least. It's just a minor consideration, easy to do. For people who ham radio buffs, there's a company called Elcraft that makes a ham radio that talks, and there are a lot of blind people who are radio operators. A&D Engineering is another we're going to be mentioning. Monster Cable. Well, they're not known just for their cables. They have things like universal remotes and a lot of other electronics. And the thing that's I'm really excited about with Monster and some of these other companies is they have been very open to a dialogue. And this is really all we're asking is, talk to us. We got this team of consultants. We can help guide you where to put a bump or a beep or whatever, even talking software that'll make things possible. And Monster has really stood up and said, we'd like to have all our products be vision-free. People talk about green products. Okay, let's have another movement, vision-free products. Or Stevie may have a better term for it coming up, so stay tuned. Audible.com, that's natural. Everybody's is doing Audible books. But we need to also make sure that a lot of the devices, not just the mainstream devices, but some of the specialized devices like the Victor Stream and others, PlexTalk, that they all have the encoding so that you can use the Audible format. And Audible is really helping out. And they'll be by our booth. They've donated a copy of Crashing Through, a book about my life that's on Audible. And anybody who'd like a copy of that, they're making that available to folks. Google has also been working with us on some grants to do something called universal generated content. And we're a small community, blind folks, so we have to team up with people like Google in order to really make things happen. Doro is making phones that are not for blind people, but for visually impaired, for elderly. Let's have a simple, inexpensive phone with easy-to-feel buttons. Everybody likes nice, sleek, shiny buttons. You can't feel them. The edges aren't sculpted. It's hard for anybody who's visually impaired to use them. UIT Most, another company that we're recognizing. And the list goes on. We hope to find more out on the floor. If you see something that's cool out there, let me know. I saw a 3D gaming device that was pretty neat, a telescope that was pretty amazing. It's just really exciting to see this all come to fruition. So let me throw the floor open to any questions that you can pose to Stevie or I or any of the others on our team.
Just real quick over here, Glenn Chapman with Edgeon's Rumble Press. Thanks for being here today. In particular, Stevie, any devices you've seen at this show that are catching your attention that you think look hot or promising?
Well, they're a group of the devices that I've seen, and those are the ones that we're going to be talking about, and giving the Wonder Vision Award to. And I wanted to speak on Wonder Vision a little bit. A few years ago, SAT and myself came up with the SAT and Wonder Visions Award, and the idea then was finding companies that made their technology accessible in the workplace for those who were blind or with low vision. And we gave an award out to the winning companies, or the companies, I think there were three winners. And it's something that I wanted to continue because obviously this is something that is not a situation that has been, it's not something that has, there has been a solution or there where there is no longer a need for companies to do this. And I think as things and technology get smaller, chips become a little cheaper, and people understand the value and significance of how the very simple things can make the technology accessible in the real world. I mean, I think that, you know, you talk about mainstreaming that's happening in schools for blind and children with low vision to be with sighted people. It's a great thing, but the accessibility has to be there. And so for many years, people saw no different than synthesizers as like a gimmicky kind of thing. But the reality is there was, from that, some great music that was able to come out of it using the various synthesizers because it was a way of expression. Similarly to the clocks, the talking clocks. Well, the reality is it made it possible for people who were not able to see to know or to hear that information immediately. Now, yes, you can read Braille, and I'm not in any way saying that Braille should ever be eliminated or that people should become Braille illiterate. But the reality is, being that at this point in time, at least as far as I know, most people in the world don't read Braille. They might like the way it looks, but the reality is there are ways where we can use the technology, even those who are sighted. I was working with a producer once, and I showed him some technology that I had, and he said, wow, this could work for me too, because say if I'm working on some music, and I'm listening to that, but I don't want to have to also look at the board, or focus my attention more on what I'm hearing. If I get some information that is audible, I can still do what I need to do and keep on with my mix. And so I think that there's a way this technology definitely can not only be great for people who are blind and with low vision, but for just people in general. And I think then, the more that it's accessible and the more that it is available in just regular stores, regular places, it doesn't become such an issue.
If you could magically create one device that you think is really needed, what would it be?
Me?
Yeah.
A car.
Yeah. You don't have to think very hard about that one.
I'm waiting for the day when they have all the little things in the road and little whatever they're doing in the road, and they just like get in the car and hand you a move, you know, drive what you want to. Now that may be a ways off, but I think that, I mean, obviously, I think any of these products that can be accessible. I mean, obviously, when we go on an elevator and we're able to touch and know what floor we're on, I mean, that's very, very important. And right beside, you know, that those printed letters, there's Braille, that gives us the freedom and accessibility of knowing we don't have to ask, what floor am I on now? You know? So I just think that obviously anything that is more accessible to us is great for everyone.
And boy, also give me a navigation device to help me get around this hotel complex. I think M comes before S, so I'm going to ask first.
Well, then I'll use up the three good things. You'll be in trouble.
It's okay.
I would first lobby for something that's affordable to provide accessibility worldwide. The unemployment rate among the blind in the U.S. is 70%, and you can imagine how hard it is to afford this technology. Think about that worldwide and in developing countries. So my first dream would be to have this accessibility reach a real affordable level. Certainly the vehicle, the autonomous vehicle, the ability to get around outside would be number two, and a navigation inability, ability to get around inside would be number three. There's nothing more powerful than getting where you need to go than navigation technology.
I would say the one thing that I want has nothing to do with technology, but it has to do with people just becoming more aware. I think that, I mean, there are people, obviously, that are coming from Iraq and Afghanistan, and, you know, you've got a lot of people that have, you know, that are blind. And so I think that people need to understand that this is something that needs to happen, bless you, that needs to happen for just the world, as he was saying earlier, I mean, for the world. I think that if possible, the government can be more involved in helping to support these products, making them more available and cheaper, as he was saying, for blind people. The fact that we are in a time where people are able to do things instantly, you know, let us include every single one in the celebration thereof.
Thank you. We have a couple more minutes. Another question?
Well, one question for you, Mike, but before I ask it, I just got to say thank you, Stevie, for music I've listened to all my life.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought of one thing. I think of XM and, well, XM Sirius, Sirius XM, it'd be great for them to make what they do more accessible to those who are blind. I know that you can use the internet to go to and get that information, but I think, you know, everyone that's blind doesn't have a computer or a way of doing these things. So I think that it'd be great to have someone come up with a device that would be not so costly that one can aim, or I know they have these things now where you can put near something and it picks up the songs that are being played if it's in the library, then it's able to tell you the name of the song. So I think that an audible version of that will be really, really great.
Yeah. Like an audible programming guide?
Yeah, well, this is something I know I saw in England where, you know, a song can be playing, and if you want to know the name of that song, you just, you know, put it close to the to wherever it's coming out of, and then you're able to, it's able to scan and then tell you what the name of the song is and the artist and the whole deal.
Shazam.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And whether it's radio or television, what we really need is to know what is the content that's being displayed on that beautiful LCD, or otherwise, small LCD. I just want to know the content. And in Europe, they're doing a lot of descriptive video, which tells you and describes the movie as it's coming along. But I just like to start at square one, which is, how do I choose the movie to begin with? Sure, I go to way too many technology conferences. I had 150,000 miles on United alone last year, so believe me, I'm talking to everybody. My seatmate, people in the conferences, you name it, proselytizing this stuff. Of course, Stevie, in a couple words, can reach all that same number of people at one speech. So that's why it's kind of nice teamwork, because it is about getting the word out and making connections and talking to all these different groups. And I think between NFB and the CNI and the American Printing House for the Blind and all the other organizations that are out there, we're doing our best to connect and to discuss these things and figure out how to move it forward. One more question?
Mike, have you put out any kind of design guides, or is that even useful?
Well, funny you should ask. We do have a press kit, and it has in there, one of the documents is somewhat of a design guide. It's obviously different depending on whether you're talking about food products or high-end electronics, but it gives some basic guidelines, and it also has all the contact information so a manufacturer can follow up and get the right resources so they don't have to try to reinvent the wheel. Any last comments?
Thank you for coming out, and being that you are communicators, handle our business.
And I want to thank you for coming and spending the time, because you putting out the word is very important. You know, my 16 gig iPod that talks now, the only thing is it's not big enough, because I put the entire works of Stevie Wonder on there, 595 songs, and he used up all the room. Thanks very much for coming.